Right, and we're back. This is episode 47 of the Tap Room Podcast, and I am your host, Mike. It's a little tough waking up this morning. Wasn't like too hungover or anything like that. Just feel a little tired. Kind of drank quite a bit this weekend. But yeah, got a fun one today. Today is the Burning Bridge episode with the owner and head brewer, Ruben Leon. Super nice guy. They're out in San Dimas. Really cool place. They got some really killer beer. They had a West Coast that was like, oh gosh, it was so good. They have, you know, yeah, quite a few beers. They have music there. I think even just last night they had Warped Tour night. So they have like bands and stuff come and play there. So that's, you know, it's a really, really cool spot. Really good people, you know, that work there too as well. A shout out to my buddy Pete, who actually, took me there, you know, for the first time, for my first time going in there. And that's what kind of sparked, you know, the interest in recording there. But yeah, no, so shout out to them. I went to, after the interview, I do have a What's New at Noble segment. So I got to sit down with Josh and Jimmy. So that'll be after the interview. I got to go to Asylum after Noble, with Jimmy. That place is awesome. So I got to go to their soft opening. So it's just like friends and family. I got to meet Thomas, the owner. I also got to spend like about a half hour talking to his dad. But it was just a really cool dude. But yeah, great beer too. So, I mean, once they open up, I will have to figure out what date, that is, and I'll mention it, in the next episode. But yeah, killer beer, really cool on the inside. They got pinball. They got some really cool stuff. They got like nice couches and stuff like that. Seating areas, obviously. But yeah, definitely check out their stuff. So we always want to support that. Also got to hang out over at us when I was at Asylum with Tim and Steve from Hardyhood Distribution. So both of them, Thomas from Asylum, and then also, Tim and Steve, were working on some dates right now to record with them, to do some episodes. So kind of get a little bus, behind the scenes on, you know, the distribution side as well. All right. Well, I also went to Long Beach Beer Lab to go support my boy Nadav. They have a new can out, so I'm going to be drinking this one today. It's a collab with Long Beach Beer Lab and 10 Mile Brewing. It's called The Beacons Are Lit, and it's a New Zealand pale ale. So everybody that listens to the show should know by now how much I love New Zealand IPAs. Or New Zealand, anything New Zealand, I'm going to drink. This one says, The Beacons Are Lit, Long Beach Calls for Beer. To answer the call, we teamed up with the Knights of 10 Mile Brewing to bring you this pale elixir. Brewed with a balanced base of Pilsner and Munich malts, coalescing into a color to set hearts aflame. Then gingerly hopped with Motueka and Nelson hops for an aromatic adventure. This ale is sure to band its drinkers together in brotherhood. Grab a pint, answer the call. The beacons are lit, much like this brew. That's awesome. Oh, I can't wait. So I'm going to crack this sucker open, eh? Go ahead and do that here. Alrighty. Let's do it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Get all that out there. All right. There we go. So I'm going to jump in here. Water's fine. Oh, yeah. That was a big chug. Ooh, that's some good stuff. Damn. The Davi Wizard. Oh man, that is really good. And I only got a 4-pack. I'm going to have to go back. But I do, I think I have like 2 left. And I got big plans for this can. when it comes to one of the pictures I want to get. So actually I'm going to take 2 separate pictures. I'm going to post both. But it'll be like a slideshow on Instagram, probably sometime next week, maybe. But yeah, I got some some big plans for this can. But that's really good though. I mean, yeah, you definitely get like, you know, those floral notes. It hits, man. Oh man. That is delicious. So definitely, yeah, get down if you have a chance to go down to Long Beach Beer Lab. It's super close to me. I'm only in Bellflower, so it takes me about 15 minutes to get there. They got some kick-ass beers. And I think Nadav's going to be there until March now. So yeah, go down there and support. Check that one out. It's bomb. This one is really, really good. And I can't get over it, man. Damn. I'll post a picture of the beer later. On my story or something. All right. Well, we got some big stuff happening. We got the NFL's last weekend. Packers can win and get in. If they lose, I know they have to, like, there's quite a few things that have to happen. I think they're 2.5-point favorites right now. They control their own destiny. And if they win, I think they'll end up being like the 7th seed and have to play the Cowboys. So feel bad because I always kind of run the Cowboys down. We'll see how that goes. I forgot. I just realized I didn't describe the beer. You totally do get those floral notes to it. It's got a, great looking color to it. Sorry, I'm bouncing back and forth right now. You definitely get those floral notes. Those New Zealand hop, like, pops, they literally just pop. And it's like, they're so, like, upfront, on the beer. And that's, I love it. But sorry, back to football. Right now, looks like Bengals are beating the Browns. All right, well, there we go. Lions are beating the Vikings. All right. Packers 2.5-point favorite. Just got to win and get in. And I like what the Packers are doing right now. I think they're playing some of their better football. I mean, if only they would have just beaten the Giants on that Monday night game, they wouldn't have had to worry about this, because I did not want to play the Bears to end the season like this. So, it is what it is. We'll see what happens. And that's the NFL. But I mean, if anyone wants to play spoiler to the Packers, it's going to be the Bears. The Bears. And then we got the Natty tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be, a good one. So shout out to Art, LA Brew Life. We both know that the Natty or the NCAA is, like, obviously our favorites, one of our favorite sports. So it's tomorrow at 4:30. Michigan's favored by 4.5. So that's going to be a good one. I'm just curious, like, how it's all going to play out. I want to pick Michigan. I want to, because I just feel like they're kind of like a team of destiny. Washington can just, Penix is killing it. He's, throwing that ball around every which way. And I think Michigan's defense is going to get to Penix for sure. But I just feel like that passing attack from Washington. So I'm going to take Washington not just to cover the spread, but to win outright. Might be a dangerous one there, but we'll see. So that should be a good one. I'm excited to see, like you said, that Washington offense against that Michigan defense. And obviously Michigan's got a great running game and, great offense as well. So we'll see how that plays out. What else we got going on this week? I'm going to Arizona next weekend. Should be fun. Going to see the Dancing Bear, going to see Jammin', my cousin. So we're going to be doing some gambling out there. Be bitten on wild card weekend. So that should be fun. Been on a little hockey. I'm trying to get an interview in while I'm out there. I talked to the people over at Wren House, trying to see if we can get something going. If we can, fantastic. If we can't, no worries. But that should be fun. Excited to get out there and have a good time. All right. Well, I don't want to, stay too long. We will jump into the interview with Ruben Leon from Burning Bridge. Definitely go out there and support, go out there and have a pint, go out there, check out a concert. They have trivia nights. And we talk about all this in the interview. So I hope you guys enjoy the interview. Stay tuned after that. And we'll do a lead into what's new at Noble. All right, guys, we're back in the tap room. I am your host, Mike. I have a very special guest on today. I came down to San Dimas, and I have the owner and head brewer, Ruben Leon, from Burning Bridge Brewing. How's it going?
It's going good. Beautiful Sunday. Oh, I'm sorry, Saturday.
Yeah.
In San Dimas. Sorry, all the days run together now.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. It's actually really nice out today. I think it's like 70 degrees and beautiful. Not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, it's perfect out here.
Yeah, man. And so I've got to come down here, was it a couple Tuesdays ago? And I was like, I tried what I'm about to have right now, that Telling Lies, your Pilsner, and it was absolute killer, man.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking our brand new collab that we did with our buddy Ryan at R Squared Brewing. He's a home brewer. It's called the New Black.
Okay.
Black IPA. We got, what do we got in here? Cascade, Chinook, and Citra for the most part. So we're putting on tap today. I'm really excited about this one. We did this one in my garage, like during the middle of COVID.
Oh, wow.
And came out really good, and we decided to bring it back, and we worked with him, and Ryan's a really good friend. We're both pretty big Every Time I Die fans.
Okay.
That's where the name comes from. It's one of their songs.
Awesome.
And you'll see that that's a theme with all our beers.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm drinking today. So cheers.
Awesome. Cheers, brother. So you mentioned, like, you know, brewing in the garage. So you started out home brewing?
Yes. Started out home brewing right about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It's kind of two stories in one. The day I was having my engagement party in Long Beach, we had time to kill. So my father-in-law took me to, what was it called? Rock Bottom in Long Beach, because they were having a Learn How to Homebrew class.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And we were sitting in the patio, and they were like talking about brewing and passing around grain, and we were chewing on grain. And then they got to the point where they were talking about how long it takes for everything to be ready.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's no way I would ever do this. Like, this is dumb. I'm not going to wait around for 2 weeks to drink beer. I could just go to the store and buy it.
Yeah.
So I never did anything from there. And then, like, one day we were hanging out with a couple of buddies of mine, and we were like, we should open a bar, just like randomly, right? And then my business partner, signed us up for a Learn the Homebrew class here in Monrovia. And we did it, and I started taking notes. And we bought a bunch of stuff to brew the next week.
Okay.
And they told us, oh, you need like a 5 gallon pot, 6 gallon pot. And when I got married, as kind of as a joke, I had put a like tamal pot in our wedding registry. And someone actually bought it. I still don't know who bought it.
Oh, wow.
I wish I knew. And I was like, wait a minute, I think I could just use that. I think that's like 5 gallons. And so, yeah, like our first system was a tamal pot, like
wow.
a steamer.
Yeah.
We drilled a hole, put a valve in it, and the very next week we were brewing. We did a coffee porter. The kit came with a pack of coffee. I'm not good at reading instructions. You know,
yeah.
It's how some people are. They don't read instructions. I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out. They threw the coffee into the boil. It just tastes like burnt beans when it was done. So, and then the week after that, I was like, you know what? Let's make a Modelo type of beer. So we made a Modelo Negra type of clone, not knowing that lagers were supposed to be more difficult.
Yeah.
And that was like the first real beer that we ever made. And I was 7 years ago.
Dang. How was it?
Good, I think.
I think
I remember we bottled it, and then we went to Howlin' Ray's in Chinatown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And because we would get there really early. Because people would do like kind of like these mini bottle shares.
Okay.
And we just brought our beer, and like people were like, oh, this is good. Like, but I quickly found out that people really won't tell you what they think about your homebrew to your face. Because they're like, oh, he's trying. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't remember how it tasted. It tasted okay. I guess it was beer.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've come a long way since then. Because now one of our more popular beers is Bonita, which is an amber Mexican lager.
Okay.
So we, you know, stuck to that style of beer because it's one of my favorites. So, yeah, that's kind of the story of how we started brewing for the most part.
That's awesome. And what year did you start? Or like how long ago?
2016? Was that four? Yeah, about 2016.
Wow.
2017, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, I joined – really what changed it from like being something that I just – did randomly to something more serious was when I joined or when I found out about my homebrew club, SoCal Seven Settles.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, anyone out there listening, if you're interested in learning more about brewing, I would say follow them and go to a meeting. We went to a couple meetings. We joined the club. We met all these awesome people who were like-minded into a lot of similar stuff.
Yeah.
And you start seeing some of the cool stuff they were doing with beer, and you're like, okay, me as a kind of like, you know, how can I say, like, wanting to be a competitor and not be left behind.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I need to step up my game. So
yeah.
That really encouraged us to make better beer, to learn more about it, learn more about the science behind beer. And, you know, they challenged us. That whole club challenges you to not be left behind in a good way.
That's
not
awesome.
Like, not like in a way like, oh, you suck. You can't be, oh, you can't hang out with us.
Yeah.
But yeah, that club is very progressive and very forward thinking. Mm-hmm. So they really set the bar for us. And, you know, we appreciate everything that they've done for us.
That's awesome. Yeah. I always hear like such great things about the SoCal Cerveceros, but I've always wanted to get someone from there on the show.
Yeah. I was actually president.
Awesome.
Marvin's been president for 2 years. So about 3 years ago, I was president. The bad thing about when I was president, everything was still kind of like shut down.
Yeah.
So we can't really do a lot of stuff, but, mm-hmm. You know, Marvin, the current president, has done a lot of cool stuff. I believe his Instagram handle is, 110 Brewing.
Okay.
But if you look up SoCal Cerveceros, you'll see him. But he's done a great job with the club. And then, you know, needless to say, what Ray from Norwalk Brewing and Augustine and the whole team over at Brujeria.
Well, Augustine's awesome. He's such a nice guy.
They created it. They started it. You know, Brujeria, for my part, has a special place in my heart. Like,
yeah.
We still watch our kegs over there. Adrian, the head brewer over there, is just, you know, so awesome, and, mm-hmm. and they're very, very helpful. I think between them and Justin over at Common Corner, they're like my go-tos whenever I have questions or like, hey, what do you think about this? Like, how do you do this and stuff like that? So they are a big help.
That's awesome.
So that whole club, again, if you're interested in homebrew, if you're not sure, go check them out. Go to a meeting. Go mm-hmm. see what they're about. You'll at least have a good time. I can promise you that.
Oh, like, for sure. Know,
if anything, you'll walk away with having a good time and trying a bunch of cool beer.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's the one thing, like, I harp on it a lot on this show. Like, I love to talk about it, though, because it's so true. It's like the craft beer community is always, like, super helpful. And, like, they're always, like, people are, well, say 95% of it. Mm-hmm. They're always willing to, like, oh, like, if you have an issue with something or if you have, like, a question, like, it's like they always answer.
Yeah. No, that's true. I've met a lot of cool people in this industry. I've been fortunate that at the industry level, I haven't met anyone that's an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're out there.
Yeah.
I hear horror stories.
Yeah.
But I've been fortunate, and my crew has been fortunate to not run into any of those people.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, everyone, you know, especially here in this area, you know, we have Laverne Brewing. Alex is a head brewer over there. He's a big help. He's awesome too. Well, like I said, Common Corner, we have High Point around here. So everyone in this area has been super helpful and welcoming to us, you know, being here in San Dimas and in this part of San Gabriel Valley. So
yeah,
this community is really tight knit. You get to meet a lot of cool people.
That's awesome, man. For Burning Bridge, like when did it kind of become a reality to you that you were like, oh, am I opening a brewery? how did that happen?
It's actually the anniversary is coming up. It was like December 23rd, 2021. So this brewery here, this location here in San Dimas, used to be a different brewery.
Oh, okay.
So it was Feathered Serpent Brewing.
Oh, I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah, they are actually opening up a new location in La Puente.
Okay.
We bought this from their owner, Aurelio, which it's interesting how things kind of tie in to one another. The reason I say that is because his name is my grandfather's name.
Oh,
I've
wow.
never, ever met anyone else with that name.
I don't think I've ever,
so
ever
the,
met anyone
the
either.
Quirkiness of we're buying a business from this guy who had the same name my grandfather had, who I'd never met. And I've never met anyone else with that name. It's just like those weird, like, oh,
yeah,
the that stars align,
kind of coincidence,
you know?
Yeah.
So I got a random text message from someone that I kind of knew. I don't think I really knew him that well. One of the guys over from War Cloud Brewing in Roland Heights. You know, that's where I live, so they live right by me.
Okay.
And I just got – I didn't even know he had my phone number, honestly. I get this text message, and I look at him, I'm like, who is this? And I figured out who it is. And it was a link to a pro brewer Realtor.com classified listing. Oh. It was for a brewery for sale.
Oh, nice.
And I looked at the description, said San Dimas. I saw the name, Aurelio. I was like, oh, wait, I know who this is. Mm-hmm. Like, because Feather Serpent was technically officially the first brewery in SoCal Cervecerías that became a commercial brewery.
Oh, wow.
It was them, and then shortly after that was Brujeria. So, you know, I talked to my friends and stuff, because at that point, I mean, taking a step back, when COVID first hit, you know, for the first, I don't know, 8 months, I think like a lot of people fell into this routine of like nothing else, nothing matters. The world's going to shit. Like we're just gonna fucking drink every day. So we would go to a bunch of breweries. Like we would drink like three to five, six beers a night, just watching the news, just thinking like, hey, everything sucks. Baseball isn't on.
I know. Blah, yeah. You know? It's the worst. Yeah.
And then finally, I think I think Monrovia, the homebrew shop before they closed, they started doing deliveries. I was like, you know what? I need to get back to brewing. So, you know, I could support them as well. I ordered stuff. They delivered it, and we got back to brewing. And, you know, there was always the idea of like, hey, this will become a thing one day. You know, I would tell my wife, I was like, when we own the brewery, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She like just shrug it off. But when this came up, you know, it became a good opportunity. The price is right. And I was like, I think we can make this happen. So obviously, you know, first step is you make sure you can secure the funds.
Yeah, of
before
course.
You know, have those conversations. And we were able to. We had those conversations. We officially took over this building. Like, we got the key for this building April 1st, 2021? No, 2022. Yeah, 22. So it was funny because it was April Fool's. So it was a quick
post. Is this really happening?
Yeah, I think I posted the key in the log and be like, is this a joke or not? You guys figure it out. So, and then we worked for a couple months to, you know, we repainted, we moved stuff around, all that type of stuff. While our liquor license was getting processed, late August, it became a reality. Everything got approved and we were off to the races since then. So,
awesome.
You know, it was pretty much that text message in December that kind of set it off to be like, oh yeah, this can actually happen. And this is a good opportunity. Because you know, I was working my regular day job and I was just like, there's no way knowing what people that I knew or know have gone through the open breweries from scratch,
mm-hmm.
like with just, you know, warehouse.
Yeah,
like,
bare bones. There's no way
I have the time or can come up with the money to do that. So when this came up, I was like, wait a minute, you know, there's a path to it mm-hmm. here. So, and the way, like I said earlier, the way things kind of work out is the bridge in Burning Bridge is a reference to La Puente,
okay.
which is where me and one of my main business partners grew up.
Okay.
Because originally we were going by Bridgetown Brewing.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, we kind of felt like that was like just like so basic. I don't know. I don't want to use that word, but I guess for lack of a better term, it's just really basic. And then also my brother-in-law lives in Portland, and I found out, you know, Portland is also called Bridgetown.
Mm-hmm.
So because Portland has a, you know, strong presence in craft beer.
Yeah,
I want to confuse people. So I think we were at a party. There's still debate about that. You know, I say I came up with it. My wife says she came up with it. Originally, people were saying Burning Bridges Brewery.
Okay.
And people still say it now. But there was something about that S at the end that just didn't flow right.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll just drop the S. Bridge is a reference to La Puente. And we'll just go from there. And then I had the logo made. And when the artist came back with the logo, I was like, oh, yeah, shit. Like, this is it.
No, it's a kick-ass logo.
So, yeah, we get a lot of compliments on that. I had an artist overseas do it. Just someone I found on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, hey, I have this idea. And they did it for me. And, yeah, it came out cool. One of the things I wanted in the logo was to not have any reference to beer.
Yeah.
Like, no... you know, wheat, no hops, none of that. I want to just like standalone logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is brewing, but it does not really resemble anything beer related. Yeah. So, late December, 2021 is when we realized this can be a real thing.
That's awesome, man. And that's always cool because I mean, I always feel like when it comes to this show, if somebody listens and they think like maybe it'll motivate someone to get out there and, you know, either try brewing or try, you know, opening a brewery if they're already brewing, stuff like that. If it gives somebody some type of motivation, you know.
Oh, I encourage that.
Yeah.
You know, all day and night, I encourage people to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of the reason we're doing this is so that I have the freedom to kind of do whatever I want.
And for sure.
I don't mean that to sound cocky in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, I got tired of sitting in front of a computer. I got tired of, like, doing stuff and seeing other people make money and stuff. Not mm-hmm. that we even make anywhere near anybody like this, but the idea of, like, doing something for yourself and setting yourself up in the whole, you know, growing up in the punk rock community where everything was DIY, mm-hmm. you know, do it yourself, that mantra has always stuck with me. Everything we do here is DIY.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you can be a legit brewer if you're not doing something like DIY. Like, whether it's hacking something, like, you know, our canner started failing us a couple of weeks ago, and we figured out how to make it work. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't have to buy replacement parts. We just MacGyvered it, I'd like to say. I actually had a buddy of mine here a week ago. You know, he's talking about wanting to open a brewery, and I was like, dude, you know, if your wife's on board, go for it. Like, don't sit back and be like, you know, 5 years from now, like, damn, like, dude, we could have fucking done it. Like, whether it works or not, like, just go for it. You'll figure it out. And I can tell anyone who comes in here, if I can help you in any way, if I can give you feedback, like, I'm not afraid to, like, show you my numbers and what we do and stuff like that. If it's going to help you make a better version of a brewery. And the industry's in a weird place. You know, it is a little nerve-wracking where, you know, the last couple of weeks, you keep hearing about all these breweries closing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get me wrong, like, there is that part of it, too. You are running a business. You have to be able to, like, pay your bills and pay your staff and all that type of stuff. But I think working together, you'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And that's, like, to me, that's, like, the perfect way to say it. Because I have another show that I do, too. But on that show, like, the mantra of that show is, like, just because you've been doing something your whole life doesn't mean you have to do it the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And if you're, like, you know, unhappy with what you're doing, you can make those changes, and, you know, you can get out there and open up a brewery or do whatever the hell you want. Yeah. You know, as long as you're happy doing what you're doing, like, you know.
Oh, that's a big part of it. I mean, there's days I've been here 16, 18, 19 hours in this, you know, with 1700 square foot tiny little warehouse. I would pick that over 5 hours in front of a spreadsheet at my old job.
Mm-hmm.
Just because here, like, we're like, it's cool. Like, we're building stuff for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything cooler than that. Like, just doing something for yourself so that you're happy, you're satisfied, and, you know, waking up. And I understand we all have to do what we have to do.
Yeah, of course.
It's not talking down to anyone or anything like that. But for me being able to, like, have the flexibility, even though, like, we're here right now, I'm going to wrap up some stuff after we're done, go home, come back. We have our holiday party tonight.
Oh, awesome.
So there's a bunch of back and forth. But when, you know, it's tonight, this place should be pretty packed. People doing karaoke, people buying your beer.
Yeah.
You're listening to the music that you love. Like, there's nothing better than that.
Oh,
like, it's so 100%. Awesome. It's so, so awesome. So that makes up for all the time that the tri-clamps don't fit.
Yeah.
Or you forgot to order the right hops. Or like, it's happened to me before, you throw in the wrong yeast into a beer because you weren't paying attention. So that makes up for all those times that mm-hmm. you do want to put your face through a wall. Because at the end of the day, like, running a small business is fun, but it's a ton of work.
Oh, yeah.
I have to have my hand in everything. But I will never, ever discourage anyone, because I feel like I remember hearing this a lot in comedy, where, like, you have young comedians and older comedians, and they always tell the younger comedians, not always, but I tend to hear it quite a bit, like, oh, don't go into this industry, you don't want this.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you should encourage that, because they want, let them figure it out for themselves.
Yeah.
Just try to be that person who kind of mentors them, helps them get to where they want to be. And if it's not for them, it's not for them. But if it is, you know, you may be talking down to the next great comic
of
their generation, because you're, like, bitter and old and like, oh, I hate this industry. I don't feel that way about brewing. I've had people tell me, like, oh, are you burnt out yet? Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's like, this is we're making beer. It's not
this is your passion, you
like
know?
I get to listen to, like, the Menzingers and make beer. Like, I can't think of a cooler job for me, you know.
That's awesome, man. And I love that. Was there a beer, because I'm always curious to ask people, like, because when they just makes them decide to brew, but was there, like, a craft beer that made you think, like, well, one specific beer that you tried and you're like, man, they can make beer like this, or like this is the, you know, this is the thing, like not just something you buy at the store?
There's probably a bunch that I'm not thinking of, but two that come to mind. So before I got into craft beer, I didn't drink much. I still don't really think I drink that much. Mm-hmm. But I would just drink like Corona and Heineken.
Okay.
Like, I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I think when I met my wife, she was into, she would drink IPAs. I would drink like Hef and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is disgusting. Like, how can you drink this?
Ooh, yeah.
It's like soap. But just through, you know, going out with her and doing that whole thing, I began to like it. I think the first kind of craft beer, if you will, was Hangar 24 Orange Wheat.
Okay.
That was like the first six pack I bought, and I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
Even before that, I think I remember going to, I was probably like early 20s, going to Yard House, and my friend introducing me to Blue Moon.
Yeah.
I think this is, I want to say it's probably before they were bought out. If they were bought out, I'm not sure, but this is like a long time ago.
Yeah.
So the whole orange wheat thing was always my thing. But the first ones that still to this day, if it's around, I'm going to drink it, is Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Just, oh, yeah.
Just a classic. Like, I don't think that's perfection to me. That's like the holy grail. Like, if you can make a beer like that. And Pizza Port's Swami's.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's double IPA or regular IPA, but that beer is just, you know, chef's kiss. Just perfection. So actually we had an IPA a couple months ago called You Vandal. Mm-hmm. And someone told me, like, dude, this tastes like Swami's. And I was like, that's the greatest compliment anyone can
thank
ever
you.
Get. I don't think you're right, but I appreciate it, you know? So that's awesome. I think those two beers were the beers that were like, you know, like, oh, wow, like beer can have flavor. Beer can be complex and simple at the same time. And I have a buddy who's going to hate this, but it can be balanced.
Yeah.
So that, I think, if you want to talk more macro, and people sleep on this beer, but Michelob Amber.
Oh, like the original?
The amber one.
Yeah.
Is,
the amber box?
Oh, yeah. It's so good. The one, and they don't make it, as far as I know, they don't make it anymore. But if I had it, and shout out to Alex's Bar in Long Beach, because they would always have it, was Olympia. Olympia beer.
Yeah, I remember, seeing
dude,
Olympia, yeah.
I could drink that forever. Like, if I had, like, honestly, if you told me pick one beer for the rest of your life, it'd probably be Olympia.
Oh, wow.
Like, just, it was malty, it was simple, it was, you know, a little bit of like, amber notes to it. So yeah, those are kind of like the beers that really got me into this. I would say probably more recently, it's been kind of hard to drink more stuff recently because we're drinking and testing stuff here.
Yeah, of course.
I think my assistant brewer, Zeke, is probably the one who's always telling me about stuff. He works for Trader Joe's.
Okay.
It's like regular job. So he's always like, oh, he brings me stuff. He's like, try this. So I can't think of anything that stands out to me recently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, Pizza Port Swami IPA, and Olympia. Like those three were like the ones like, oh man, like, this is whole other world. It's like, felt like I was on the rug with Aladdin, like, show you the world. So
that's awesome. You know, what's crazy too, when I talk to brewers, let's say maybe 70% of the time when I ask them about like, what was that beer? It's usually Sierra Nevada because it's just so good.
It's hot. It's like, hoppy for the people who like hops, and it's not hoppy enough for people who don't like hops. So it's like just that, and it's not, you know, it has some body to it. It's not a lager, so it's not like super dry.
But mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, it's just a great beer. Plus, especially once you get into brewing, and you know, what's his name, Ken, the founder, like he's such a like recognizable face once you get into it, and that story is just so cool how he built everything. It's like, yes, like, it can be done.
Yeah.
You know? Obviously, there's Stone. Stone's great, too. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, everything, like, I would always prefer Sierra Nevada. Even all the other stuff they do, Sunshine?
Mm-hmm.
The like, for a can hazy, like, that's a good go-to hazy.
Yeah.
You know? Torpedo.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I've had used to drink the Torpedo.
I just had Celebration. I had 2 pints of Celebration.
Oh, nice.
A couple of weeks ago, like when that comes around, that's always a great beer. That the you know around this time of year too.
Oh, for sure.
So I'm a big fan of Sierra Nevada, awesome. As you can tell.
That's awesome. How many beers do you guys have on tap here?
We have capacity for, I believe, 14.
Okay.
Right now we have, if you count the seltzers, we have 10 on tap.
Okay.
We ran into a little issue where we like built up our inventory and everything was great. And I was like, oh, it's cool. We can take a couple weeks off of brewing. And then like I quickly realized that you can't ever do that.
Yeah.
Because right now we're like trying to stretch everything out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have, I think right now we have, I counted it last night, we have 10 on tap if you count the two seltzers that we have. And then we have in the tanks right now, we have a big 10 barrel batch of Bonita, the amber Mexican lager.
Okay.
And Showtime, our rice lager, which by the way, I know a lot of breweries in LA County are not going to make Shohei Ohtani related beers.
Yeah.
What happened a week ago.
Yeah.
I want to say we were the first one in LA County to have a Shohei Ohtani themed beer.
There you go.
I am an Angels fan.
Okay.
To make it clear to everyone.
Yeah.
That's why we made it. And there was a rule, though. The rule was if he signs with the Dodgers or if he stays with the Angels, we're keeping the name.
Yeah.
If he goes somewhere else, we're going to rename it.
Yeah.
So if there's one reason why I'm glad he stayed in LA or went to LA, whichever way you want to cut that.
Yeah.
Is that we get to keep the name, well, at least until we Perfect. Get a letter from a lawyer. Stuff, but yeah, we got that in the tanks, and then we also have Damaged Goods, our cold IPA that people have been asking us for. So we got that in the tanks, and hopefully that will allow us to build up our inventory. And yeah, 10 taps on tap right now. If anyone ever wants to know what we have on tap, it's on our website at all times, burningbridgebrewing.com. It's in real time. We use Untap, so as soon as I make a change on my phone, it gets presented on the website.
Oh, right, awesome. Away.
So it's as real time as you can get, essentially. Mm-hmm. We also do slushies every now and then.
Okay.
We have this mango chamoy slushy that does real well.
Oh, I bet that's phenomenal. Seltzer, I'm sure people love that.
Seltzer base. We're hoping to do some stout stuff in there.
Yeah.
In the slushing machine, you know, here in the winter. But yeah, that's what we got right now.
That's awesome, man. Do you have a favorite style you like to brew and drink?
I think brew and drink lagers.
Yeah.
Just any lager, really. Mm-hmm. From a brewing standpoint, for anyone out there, you know, who's thinking about doing this. Lagers are your friend.
Yeah.
Lagers do take more time in the tank, but they do generally cost less to make. And we're talking about, you know, the nuts and bolts of like, you know, cost of goods, trying to be profitable and all that. Lagers generally cost less. They take a little bit longer in the tank, but that you can always work around that. They don't create a mess the way that hoppy beers do.
Yeah.
I hate brewing hoppy beers. I say that like, you know, tongue in cheek, like, you know, being able to brew any beer is awesome.
Yeah.
But the thing with hobby beers is like, you know, you have your whirlpool, you throw a bunch of hops in there, the hop matter becomes a mess. You dry hop a bunch of hops and that you got to get rid of that somehow. So like you'll be, you know, there's times where I'm covered in hop matter or my boots are covered in hop matter. And sometimes it gets stuck in the hoses and you have to add more pressure and it's like, they just make a mess. Like you have to run more water through them through the tanks to clean it properly and all that type of stuff. But I will say the aroma, like when we dump out yeast in here, it smells so good.
Oh, I bet
like,
it probably does.
Oh man, dude. We actually, but we're kind of spoiled. Me and my, assistant brewer Zeke are spoiled because we got to go to Idaho. I think it was September. Yeah, I think it was early September. We got to go to Idaho for a couple days to do hop harvest out there.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
We got to smell Mosaic fresh out of the kiln, dried. And I remember telling him, I'm like, I feel bad for every bag of Mosaic I open for the rest of my life because it's never going to match this.
Yeah.
It's just like amazing. So, I prefer to brew lagers. The other thing too, it's like, from a standpoint of always being around alcohol, we're trying to talk about like the responsibilities mm-hmm. that we have to consider when dealing with alcohol. You know, if I'm going to be here and I drink a 5%, 4%, 4.5% lager,
yeah,
I feel much more comfortable with drinking 2-3 of those than drinking 2-3 6.5, 7.5, 8.5%
for sure.
IPAs. So you have to take that in consideration also. Like, you can't just be drinking all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lagers definitely, we're trying to lean more into lagers. This area here, San Dimas, has shown us they prefer lagers. Just when you look at our sales history, mm-hmm. our Pilsner is probably our best-selling beer. We did a small batch of the Showtime Rice Lager, and we had not made it for close to a year. Just because I was like, okay, well, whatever, like, we'll just bring it back later.
Yeah.
And as soon as we brought it back, everyone's like, dude, finally, like, we've been yeah. wanting this beer. Like, I had someone tell me, one of our regulars was like, everyone I tell to come check you guys out is based on this beer, and you guys never have it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, I wish I would have known that. I would have made it sooner.
You should have told me.
That's why we made a big batch of it. So the original plan was to wait till baseball season came back, because it felt like a good baseball season yeah. beer. But we have other plans for this coming season.
Yeah.
So yeah, lagers, whether it's, you know, the Rice Lager, the Pilsner, the Amber Mexican Lager, we have plans to do a, you know, kind of more traditional Czech lager. We just finished our Marzen. It just tapped out a couple weeks ago. We have a Helles right now that people are really enjoying. We want to do a Schwartz beer. Probably won't do that till next year, though. So we'll probably do like a Doppelbock, a Maybach. So yeah, we definitely like lagers here for
there
sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you can't, for me, like, you can't go wrong with the lager. And I tried one of your, I think, your West Coast last time as well. Mm-hmm. And that was, yeah.
Was it a little TLC?
Yeah.
Because that one's been our most popular one.
Okay.
The only bad thing about that, it's like literally our most expensive beer to make.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but yeah, we just ran out of that this week. We'll probably put that one away for a little bit until springtime. We have another IPA that we do called Stay Vicious, that we have like about 1,000 labels that we paid for. So oh, we got to bring that yeah. one back.
There you go. Cans
to, you know, get through the labels, but that's more, it's, I wouldn't say it's a West Coast IPA. It's more like a standard American IPA. It's
okay.
Like, what is it? It's, Chinook, Simcoe, and Cascade. So more like Pacific Northwest type of IPA. So it's good for this cold weather. Well, cold,
yeah,
in quotes,
right? Yeah, cold in Southern California, yeah, is like 60 degrees.
Exactly. So we'll probably bring that one back, give TLC a little bit of a break, but that's one of the challenges of a small brewery. Is I had talked to someone who runs a bigger brewery that we know through acquaintances before we opened, and he told me, like, probably your biggest issue is going to be you're going to be too good for your own. You're going to be too small for your own good, right? Mm. Meaning that once you have something that hits, you just cannot keep up with it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do more distribution, but then I'm always like, oh, but if I sell these kegs, I don't have kegs for here.
Yeah.
And like, we're such a small place where I was explaining it to someone the other day, and I was like, it's kind of like a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
If we do good, we can only do so good because like, there's only so many seats in here. And if we do bad, it hurts because it's bad.
You know? Yeah,
it's
of course.
Not a good night financially. So that's kind of the things about. So anyone out there thinking about opening a brewery, start at 10 barrels minimum.
Yeah.
Don't mess with 5 barrels or 3 barrels. You're going to be kicking yourself in the ass when you're doing good.
Yeah.
So that's one of our issues right now, is having to like keep up with demand. It's a good problem to have. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
It's a very good problem to have. But you're like, you know, when you're looking at the taps and you want to try to keep them all full, you're just like, oh, man, I can only, you know, once the tanks are full, they're full. You can't do anything, you know.
Yeah.
I explain this to people, like, I'm on the beers time. Mm-hmm. Like, if I have to come Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to dump yeast and dry hop, that's what the beer's telling me to do.
Yeah.
Like, I can't control that. So quality above everything, right?
Yeah.
That's what we shoot for. So... Yeah.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's, it's like, you know, because when it comes to brewing, I mean, that's your baby. Like you said, you got to do it. It's here on the beer's time. You got to make sure.
Yeah, know. I have this I have this joke I tell myself, or I tell my wife, where it's like, our parents wanted us to have kids and we got dogs.
Yeah.
Our parents wanted us to buy a house and we bought a brewery. So, you know, like people are like, you don't have kids. I'm like, these are my kids.
Yeah.
The beers and the dogs are my kids. Yeah. Like, you know, you love one a little bit more than the other, but you can't tell them that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the root of everything is that it's fun. It's enjoyable. It's fun. We've met so many cool people here, so many great people here in the city of San Dimas. I think San Dimas gets overlooked. It's just a little city that's on the freeway. And I think there's a lot of opportunity here. So, you know, we've been doing the punk rock shows. You know, last week we had, on Friday we had like 4 indie bands. Saturday we had 4 metal bands. Last night we had a couple indie bands. So, you know, the shows help, events help, and we're just trying to bring some of that stuff to San Dimas, which when I talk to people who are from the area, they're like, oh, like, we needed this. Like, this is great. You guys do all this stuff.
That's cool.
So, we are trying to lean into that as much as we can. You know, people don't believe me when I say part of the reason why I wanted to open a brewery was just to, like, get to watch bands for free, essentially. Yeah. And I'm like, no, seriously. Like,
yeah.
We had, we were able to do this collaboration with Spinning Plate Record in Covina.
Yeah.
With the owner, Brian, and he's in a band called Death Club, and they played here. Their singer, Justin, is somewhat of a kind of legendary character in the hardcore community.
Okay.
So the fact that he played here, me and my partner, James, we were like tripping out. We're like, dude,
yeah,
Justin Pearson's here. Like,
yeah,
how, like, in what world? Like, this is insane.
Like, how did this happen?
Yeah. And like, most people aren't going to get it. I understand. You know, it's not like it's anyone of major stature, but for us who grew up in this community, have been listening to these bands forever, like the fact that we can do something like that and have something here in San Dimas in our little area, it's just like, it blows my mind. It's like beyond anything I ever thought was possible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we got to do Punk in the Park earlier this year. And that for me was like one of those moments where it's like, and I don't ever really show, like, people like, aren't you happy? I'm like, whatever. I try to keep that tough exterior where it's like, this is what we're supposed to do. Like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. But inside, like,
you're like, yeah.
Like, I got to watch the Descendants do sound check because of beer.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. Anyone who knows me, like, knows how much I love that band. And the fact that we're like setting up for a beer and we had to go, so we set up our tent, we had to go get a wristband at the entry, and like they're sound checking, and like me and my brother just watching there while sipping our coffee. It's like one of the greatest punk rock bands of all time. And
yeah,
like, it's an audience of like us and the sound guys in this big field in Orange County. It's like, and I have no cell reception, so no one can ruin this for me. I'm like, this is one of the greatest moments of my life.
How cool is that?
And being able to, like, you know, we serve beer. So the event was like, we're serving beer from like noon to 3. You know, Saturday it was like Rotting Out, Scowl. Who else did we see that day? It's escaping me right now. But I mean, just those two bands alone are like some of my favorites. So, like, sometimes it's kind of hard because it's hard to convey what that means to me.
Yeah.
To other people, because like, well, they're just bands. It's like, yeah.
No, but yeah, but to bands, you, that's like, what makes you unique, though, because yeah, you, the stuff that you love, it's, and the, like, stuff that you care about.
We have artwork of Rotting Out on our wall, and like, because of beer, we got to see them play, and we got paid for it.
Yeah.
Like, how cool is that?
That's,
like,
awesome.
From a business standpoint, I should probably take it more serious, but at the same time, too, I'm like, but I get to watch bands that I love. Like, this is fucking cool, you know? So we're going to be able, we're going to be doing the, I think it's called the Shamrock Throwdown.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to be doing that event in March with Flogging Molly.
Oh, Flogging Molly. I love Flogging Molly.
Flogging Molly, Amigo the Devil. I can't remember who else is on the bill, but that's going to be in Orange County too. So it's really cool. You know, they buy a couple kegs from us. We get to serve our beer. And I think the best part about it is that when people talk to us about it, they know we're genuine.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I remember talking to this dude, and he was wearing, at the last event, he was wearing a Sound and Fury shirt, which is a hardcore festival here in LA. And I'm like, oh, that's a dope shirt. And he's like, oh yeah, Sound and Fury, it's a festival. I'm like, oh, I know what it is. Yeah. And then, but it was also like a Braindead, which is like another brand shirt. I'm like, oh, it's a Braindead shirt. And he's like, wait, you know about it? I'm like, yeah. And yeah. So like, I spent like 15 minutes with that dude talking about music.
That's,
you
awesome.
Know? And he was like, oh, you guys really know this.
I'm, yeah.
Like, well, yeah. Yeah. Like, this, we love all this. You know, there was, yeah.
That's why I started a brewery.
Yeah, exactly. There was a singer of one of my current favorite bands, Drain. I saw him walking, and I told my buddy, I was like, I'm going to get his attention right now. He came out, he came back, and I yelled at him. I'm like, hey, Sammy. He comes over. I say hi to him. He said he doesn't drink. I'm like, oh, no, cool. Dude, I'm a big fan. I just want to say hi. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
We come back. We watch the band, and we came back to the booth because someone was covering for us, and he's there with his family. He wasn't grabbing beer, but he's like, well, he's like, I wanted my family to check you guys out because you guys, you know, you guys know about us.
Yeah.
And we have their shirt up behind the counter. So it's like, yeah, one of those moments where it's like, okay, this is actually pretty fucking cool. So,
yeah.
We try to incorporate music into everything we do. And sometimes people get it, sometimes people don't. But the best part is when they get it.
Yeah.
When they're like, you know, we had someone tag us in that IPA I mentioned earlier, You Vandal, is a Save the Day song.
Mm-hmm.
He tagged it with the song. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they get it. It's not just this, oh, it's just a name. Like, yeah. No, there's more to it. But like I said, I know not everyone's going to get it, and it's cool. It's not meant for everyone to get it. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing if you don't get it. But when it works, when it hits and people understand it, it's like, I don't think there's anything more satisfying from my standpoint.
100%. And even for me with this, like, there's times when, like, I get to talk to, you know, certain brewers and I'm like geeking out.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm like, and, you know, people will tell me, like, what are you freaking? He's like, why are you freaking out? I'm like, dude, it's this person.
You know, yeah, like, exactly. You know, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it may not be important to them, obviously, but to me, they know, mm-hmm, it's important to me. So,
yeah, no, I've had that before where, you know, obviously everyone knows Green Cheek.
Oh yeah.
I was there once, and Evan, the owner, was there. I told my wife, I'm like, it's Evan. Like,
yeah.
She's like, what? I was like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, he makes all the beer, blah, blah, blah. So I go talk to him. I was like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
Like, you don't give a shit about me. I'm like, no, I can't come off as a fanboy. So,
yeah.
So now I get it. Like, even when it comes to brewing too, I have like certain people that, like, if there's a podcast on them, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah.
Try to pick up everything, you know? Yeah, it's interesting when people get it,
mm-hmm,
and it's okay when people don't.
Yeah. And for me, one of those moments is when I got to talk to Daniel, from Beer Paper. That was, mm-hmm, like, yeah, I was calm, cool, and collected during the, you know, during the show, but like in the inside, I was just so giddy.
Oh, that was another moment for us too, because like we got a copy. And like, oh, there's a directory. So like I emailed them. I'm like, hey, how do we get your directory? They're like, just give us your info.
Yeah.
And then we got the next session. We were in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Like, yeah, we're in Beer Paper. And then like, I don't know how they figured this out, but one day we were here, I think it was a Wednesday, and we were brewing, and some dude just walks in and he has like a whole like bundle of Beer Papers. He's like, here you go.
Oh, it was probably Greg.
I don't know. I need, yeah, to get his name. I'm like, okay. I was like, thank you. And then he just took off. I'm like, I was like holding it in my hand. I'm like,
yeah,
this is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I think, because I would go to other breweries and I see it. I'm like, how do you figure out how you get delivered? And they just showed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that was another moment where we're like, okay, yeah, this is kind of cool.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I did want to ask you too, cause I know that, like, you guys have shows here and stuff like that. Do you guys have any events coming up? Cause this will be out New Year's Eve weekend, but do you guys have any events after that?
Yeah, there's a couple shows coming up. I don't know of any of the bands playing. I know we got one of the first Saturdays, it's either like just around the 6th or something like that. I know this is gonna sound super unprofessional, but I'm a mess when it comes to calendar work.
It's all good. Yeah, I get it.
But I know we have a show with Taco Punks. If you don't follow them, you probably should, if you're into punk rock. They do a lot of shows at Rock House.
Oh, okay.
They, over in
Upland?
Yeah.
Nice.
They, like, I don't know if they booked it or whatever, but I know they serve food there. But, like, they had TSOL there last weekend. So they get a lot of cool bands to play over there. He's going to be doing a show here. He's done shows here before, and they're honestly some of our best nights. And it's crazy because it's like, remember there was a band? I was like, wait, I know this band. I went to high school with these guys. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, like a bunch of high school people I knew were here. So we got that coming up. We have what else do we have coming up? We have a couple shows in February. The best thing I can say is just follow us on Instagram. That's okay. Where we have all the stuff going on. Every Thursday we have trivia. Trivia gets packed out. Our trivia guy, Nestor, is awesome.
Like, oh, nice.
He's made for this. He also runs our karaoke. He's not doing it like tonight. We have our holiday party. He's not doing it tonight because he's up in San Francisco working this other gig he has going on. But every Thursday we have trivia. That's really an event we hang our hat on to make it fun for everyone.
Who doesn't love trivia?
Yeah. And dude, like, it'll humble you.
Yeah.
It'll humble you. I like to think I know a lot of, like, dumb stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, when you do trivia, I'm like, I don't know anything. So, yeah, we got that every Thursday. We try to have bands, like, every Friday and or Saturday. Sundays, every second or third Sunday, we have Soulful Sunday with DJ Anthony Gabriel.
Okay.
So, we kind of turn it on its head and we do, like, you know, old school hip hop and R&B.
Oh, nice.
He does a great set. Although he got yelled at last week and that was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
It was my first Karen situation. It was this older lady who wanted him to turn down the music. And he's like, well, they're paying me to do this.
Yeah.
And so he turned it down. I talked to her and I was like, look, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard, dude, because I don't subscribe to the customer is always right.
Yeah.
Like the customer is wrong sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
I just couldn't be too rude to her because she was really old.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
I just mean that that's how she was. But she was on a good one. She was riding her high horse and she's like, this music is not enjoyable. And he was playing Teddy Pendergrass.
Oh,
and I'm
geez.
How do you not consider Teddy Pendergrass enjoyable?
Yeah.
I was like, it's not like he was if he was playing N.W.A. or something like that. Okay, all right, whatever. I can understand that. But he was playing soul music. He was playing Tierra and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we compromise because that's usually how you end arguments the right way, right?
Yeah.
And we just unplugged one of the speakers and she was cool. And he had 15 minutes left of playing music and I had some people at the bar and I was like, when he's done, I'm going to play Napalm Death or something like that just to get under her skin. But I didn't because I was like, nah, I got to be the bigger person here.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have, Soulful Sunday. We're just trying to, do different events. Every Wednesday we have movies.
Oh, nice.
With our friend Evan in, Cinema Birte. So if you look us up on Instagram right now, he's doing this month. He's doing all Scorsese films.
Oh, that's cool.
So this Wednesday we have Goodfellas. Banger. Next Wednesday we have The Departed.
Classic too.
And I think that's the end of December. I don't know what he has in the works for January.
Okay.
But he takes it very serious, and he's actually the art director at KCRW.
Oh wow!
So he creates great artwork for all this stuff. And he lives right around the corner, he says. So he comes in here all the time. So we show movies every Wednesday. We'll probably, I got to work something out with him because I love Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yeah.
You're familiar with that?
Oh, my sister talks to me about that show all the time.
So it was definitely one of those shows where my wife was watching it. I'm like, what are you watching this shit for?
Yeah.
And then half an hour later, he fucking did that to her. Fuck that. And then I got to do it. So last year, if anyone knows anything about Vanderpump Rules, there was a big scandal, right? Where this dude was cheating on this chick.
Yeah.
And so it was all going to happen in the finale. So we're like, fuck it, let's just throw a party and watch it. And dude, we did really well. We had a lot of people come out. So we're going to try to bring that back with the new season coming up. So definitely watch out for us announcing Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. If my sister wasn't 3 hours away, she'd probably be here every time you watch that
show. Dude, it's, we're like, no way. No, she didn't.
She throws little parties at her house for that show.
So it's people ask me, how can you watch that? And I'm like, look, This is my justification, okay?
Yeah.
I got to deal with so many, like, high-level things with our businesses and stuff like that, that if I can watch brainless TV for an hour...
Yeah, you shut your brain down for a little bit and enjoy it?
Because I can't watch sports like that because I lose my mind during that, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, definitely, we enjoy that. We want to bring it back with this new season coming up. But we do movies on Wednesday, Thursday's trivia. We have all different sorts of events. We're working on getting a Loteria night launched.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Every first Saturday, it's not Saturday, sorry. Every first Friday of the month, we got karaoke.
Okay.
Nestor also hosts that. This last month, we did emo karaoke.
Oh, nice.
And that was insane. I will say I am a little tired of the whole emo revival.
Yeah.
And not in a bad way. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love it. I listen to a lot of those bands. But it's like, what took you guys 20 years to realize these bands are great?
Yeah.
You know? But no, dude, we had like, so normally our regular our regular karaoke night, we always end it with, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
So it's a group thing.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And Nestor ended it with the Black Parade for the emo. Yeah. So, dude, we had people like
that. My Chemical Romance?
Yeah. Splashing beer all over the place. So that was a very fun night. So event-wise, we try to do all that type of stuff. Trivia, bands, karaoke, all that type of stuff. So
that's awesome.
So, yeah, if you guys have any questions on what we have coming up, I would say just check out our Instagram, Burning Bridge Brew. On Instagram, and that's where we post everything.
Sweet. I was going to ask you if you had any interesting or funny taproom stories, but I think you kind of answered that one with that other situation.
Do you have any other ones? I can give you another good one.
Yeah.
This one just happened a couple weeks ago, actually. Our number one came in. I say number one because Andy's our number one in our beer club.
Okay.
So I call him, it's called Beer Brigade.
Yeah.
So he's our number one. He comes in. It wasn't last Sunday because Rams were in Baltimore. It was the Sunday before that. So I'm a Rams fan.
Okay.
So we try to make sure we always have the Rams game on, usually because that's what Fox gives us, right? Because it's a local blackout or the local market, whatever. So he comes in. My business partner here, Lewis, is here, which he's a 49er fan, but we won't get into that.
Yeah.
And he's here. We're watching the game. And then our buddy Andy comes in. He's wearing this Los Angeles Rams shirt, right? And we both look at him and like almost same time, we're like, where the fuck did you get that shirt? And he's like, I bought it off some guy on OfferUp.
Yeah.
So this is not a regular Los Angeles Rams shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a buddy, Alex, who created these shirts. And it says Los Angeles Rams. And it has like a pentagram with like a goat's head.
Oh, geez.
So it's like legit Los Angeles Rams, right?
Yeah.
So he made them. I guess he sold, like he gave them out or whatever. And we're like, where the fuck did you get that shirt? He's like, I got it off some guy. And we're like, in Whittier? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're like, did you go up a bunch of steps to get to his place? He's like, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, we know who made those shirts.
Yeah.
So Lewis texted him and he was like, what the hell? So, because this was like, this is before SoFi opened that he made these shirts. So this is not a recent thing. This is like, we went to a game and he had them, I think their second season back in LA.
Oh, okay.
So this is what, like 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. So that was a crazy story. And that was just like 2 weeks ago. I'm trying to think of any other ones. The one thing I will say.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you don't know who knows who.
Yeah.
And so like, when, you know, and any brewery who doesn't want to admit this is just lying to themselves.
Yeah.
When customers come in and talk shit about other breweries in the area, you're just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't have an opinion.
Yeah.
You can't. But that always happens. People try to bait you into like saying stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So those are always funny conversations. This isn't here at the brewery, but it's brewery related
because
I just saw his name. So Guillermo, who did all our murals, right?
Yeah.
Great artist. Look him up, Guillermo Milan. So we're leaving our house. Me and my wife had some stuff to do, and we were leaving the house in the morning about a week or two ago. And there's this giant truck. I had to take the trash out that day, so I was like, it's a fucking truck. Like, it was in the way where I put my trash cans.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? Because across the street, they're, like, building a, was it, ADU, like, another house in the back. And I'm, like, talking shit to this truck. We're walking out, and I'm telling my wife, I'm like, this fucking truck is, like, parked right behind you. It's, like, taking up all the space. We're getting in the car, and all of a sudden I hear, Ruben?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I look up, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, Memo?
Yeah.
And so he works where they put up like temporary power poles.
Oh.
And they had to go pick one up from that job site. And we're like, what the hell? Like, this is just wild, small world shit. So he was like at our house. He doesn't know where we live.
Yeah.
So it was more wild that just randomly the guy who did the artwork at the brewery is picking up a power pole across the street from the house. So
yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stories like that.
That's cool.
The tap room is its own living, breathing character. Mm-hmm. I think it's more our job just to refine it.
Oh, for
sure. What it is. I will say one of our customers, probably the nicest thing I think anyone's ever said about our brewery, but one of our customers threw a little party for us at her house after an event. And she said something along the lines of, as a single female, I feel comfortable going there. And
that's,
I was like,
cool.
Oh man, that like hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Where I was like, yeah. I was like, we do have a responsibility to make sure people have a good time.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Feel comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, that's another like cool story. Trying to think of any other ones. I mean, that's all the stuff that comes to mind right now.
But, yeah. No worries.
But it's a fun time in here.
That's awesome, man. And it seems like, yeah, it seems like you guys have a really good thing going here, man. And like I said, I really like your beer. And, I, you know, for me, just be able to sit down and have this conversation is super fun for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking the time. I mean,
yeah.
Anything anyone ever does to, like, help support our little brewery, believe me, like, it's indebted in my heart that, like, this is an awesome good, person taking the time. You know, we got our second location coming up. Which has been a challenge in and of itself. But the reason why we're doing it is because I quickly realized there's a limitation to what we can do here.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, like, there's nothing around us, like, in terms of, like, that draws people in. We're mm-hmm. in an industrial park across the street from houses.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, West Covina became an opportunity to try and get in front of people.
Oh, awesome.
Versus trying to have people find us.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more of an uphill battle. Versus when you're in a place where people are already coming.
Yeah. You
know? So that's kind of the concept with West Covina.
That's awesome.
Man. And West Covina technically has no breweries.
Yeah.
So we're going to be the first, even though we won't be brewing there,
yeah.
we'll be the first brewery as far as I know. I grew up in that area. I know it real well. Excuse me. So I hope we can contribute to that community. And have something to eat. We're going into a food hall, so we're not going to have a lot of flexibility in terms of what we want to do. But in our little 500 square feet, we'll figure out how to convey what we're all about.
Oh, but the foot traffic, I'm sure, would mm-hmm. be, you know, that's, yeah. you know, that's one of the biggest things. One thing I always like to tell people, though, it's like if you put out a quality product, people will find it. It's just a matter of time sometimes. But this is what you guys got going on here is awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, we've had really good feedback. We've really dialed in our system to understand, you know, what the limitations are of our mm-hmm. brewing system.
Yeah.
And in every batch, we try to look at it like, or at least I do internally, try to look at it like, okay, what can we do better on the next one?
Yeah.
Like, how can we improve this beer?
That's why I love talking to brewers.
Yeah, there's never – that's the thing. A brewer, they are their own worst enemy
mm-hmm.
In that people will tell you, oh, this beer is great. And mm-hmm. like in my case, I'm always like, you're full of shit. It's not. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Burn it all to the ground. None of it matters.
Yeah.
But sometimes even us as brewers will taste beers and be like, God damn.
Yeah.
Where did we figure this out? Mm-hmm. You know? But it's all like a learning process, right? Like I'll, you know, I'll tell you our one of the things I love about my assistant brewer, Ezekiel, is that he's about a year that we've been working together, he pushes me to try stuff that I'm not comfortable with.
That's awesome.
You know, in that like our Pilsner, you know, I would just do single infusion mashing. And he's like, well, maybe we tried the decoction. And we did it. on our Marsden. We were happy with it. We can tell the difference. But I was like, that's a lot of work. Like, I don't think we can do that all the time. So we figured out how to properly do step mashing in our system. The first lager we did after step mashing, we were like, oh, man, this is it. Like, this is a big, big difference. You can definitely tell the difference. And now every lager that we do is step mashed.
Wow.
Because we feel like there's a big difference in between that and just doing single infusion. And it's just learning those things, like dry hop amounts, dry hop regimens, just even learning fruit. Like, I had never really messed with fruit as a home brewer.
Yeah.
You know, just because one time I tried to do a peach beer and I got infected. And I was like, okay.
Oh, shit.
Don't have to ever do anything with fruit again.
Yeah.
But, you know, he pushes me to try different fruits. And we figure out everything has its own characteristic, right?
Of course.
And the more and more you work with it, the more and more you figure it out.
Like, yeah.
You know, our coffee stout, people say some really good things about it. And it's because we figured out how to properly dose the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think right now our biggest thing that we're hung up on is figuring out how to keep it fresh as long as possible. You know,
yeah.
Especially with the hoppy beers, you know, you'll make a beer in the first week and a half, 2 weeks, super bright, super crisp, just everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 3-4 weeks in, it starts to kind of like degradate. So we're trying to solve for that. And it's all about just like reading stuff, listening to podcasts,
yeah.
Us talking about it, mm-hmm. Tasting the beer, figuring out what we can do differently. And those are all, that's the fun stuff. For me, that's like the hardcore nerding out,
yeah.
Figuring out, is it the pH? Is it the fermentation temperature? Is it the hopping amount? Is it the alpha acids? What is it, right? So like figuring out that whole puzzle, fine tuning it is like what me and the brewing staff really enjoy.
Love it.
So having people say great things about it is always great, but we're mm-hmm. always like,
yeah,
shit, we can do it better.
So, I'm the same way with this show. Like, I am my own worst critic. I'm always thinking like, oh man, this is like, what do I need to do to like, well, how do I make this better? How do I, and people tell me like, dude, like love the show. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, you know, and they reach out to me. I don't ask anybody to do that. But when they do, like, it feels nice, but I'm still like, yeah, but it can be better. Like, yeah. I need to, what else can I bring to the conversation to
yeah. And I think that's, I mean, for good or bad, that's a good mindset to have, that like nothing is ever really done.
Yeah.
Right. Like, there is no finish line in terms of like, you know, especially with our beer, like, you know, I was listening to a podcast with Vinny from Russian River, and he was talking about how much Piney has changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about that, and you're like, "Wow, like that's a big brand."
Yeah.
And the fact that they're constantly modifying it, constantly like, I don't want to say constantly modifying it, but they are modifying it.
Yeah.
They are changing with the times, trying different hops, whatever. You're like, okay, so nothing is ever really done, right?
Yeah.
Like, one thing we learned with this whole hop harvest is that 1 year Citra is definitely different from this year Citra.
Like, yeah.
It just depends on what the soil gives you. And as a brewer, you get that in, you figure out what it can do, and you're like, okay, this is what it can do. I will say that, like, one thing that we learned, and we're hopefully we can get to this point at some point, is that it seems like breweries that have the option of selecting their hops
mm-hmm.
are a bit of a, they have an advanced
yeah.
step over mm-hmm. someone like us. We're buying what we can
because yeah.
we don't have the ability to buy, you know, a year's worth ahead of time.
Yeah.
So definitely, like, from what I've learned from the hop harvest is these breweries who are buying a year's worth of you know, they have their contracts and all that.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
They're picking what they want because they know what it does for their system, for their style and all that. We don't have that. So for us, it's just figuring out, like, okay, this is what we have to work with. What can we do with mm-hmm. it?
And that, I feel like, makes you even better, though, because you have to, like, you can't, like, because, you know, like I said, some people get pick of the litter, you know, and they would, for you, if you get something, you know, anything, like something that's just, like, left over, you have to find ways, you have to be more innovative
yeah.
like, to be able to do that. So, I mean, I think that's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to be as innovative as we can. We're going to be doing a lavender chamomile blonde this week.
Okay.
Which is something a little bit different for me. But again, my assistant brewer like pushes us for that. Like he's like, let's try this, let's try
that's
that.
Cool, you know? Man.
Our cellar person too, like she's very much in turn, like she's pushing right now to do a red IPA, which I would never do, but I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
You guys do it. Like,
yeah,
let's figure it out. Let's try it out. We'll do it on our pilot batch. We'll do like 2 kegs worth of it. Let's see how it does.
You know? Awesome.
I don't ever want to like stifle creativity.
Oh, never.
Because brewing is a very like artful, creative kind of that part of your brain thing where you're like, oh, what if I did this and mix that and mix that? Like, I remember when I first started brewing, like, I was like, dude. Horchata this. Yeah. And then like as you get more into it, like, oh, everyone's doing horchata, like, all right, cool, whatever. Let's try something else. Especially trying to bring your culture into it, you know?
Yeah.
Flavors that you grew up with.
Of course.
And how that may pair with like food or other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very creative process, I will say that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that was my last one I wanted to ask you was do you have a favorite food to have with a beer?
Oh,
I know it's always like either tacos, wings, pizza, or, you know, or burgers for that matter too. I love a burger and a beer for me is great, but I mean, obviously wings and tacos, you can't go wrong.
So
either.
I have this weird thing where I don't like to drink when I eat. Like, I don't like to drink beer when I eat.
Oh, okay.
But I will tell you one, like, there is one food that I absolutely love having a beer with.
Yeah.
And it's like, mariscos.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's like cocktail de camarón or a ceviche or nice. Something like that. It just, that with the beer, with like a lager, is just
oh,
like
yeah. Especially perfect. On like a hot day a or
hot
something.
Day.
Yeah.
Always takes me back, you know, to like hang out with my dad and TJ or Rosadito and getting my school right on the beach and having like a Tecate or a Pacifico.
Yeah.
So it always takes me back to that. So that's a style of food, whether it's like, you know, we've gone to, Jalisco Marisco, or Mariscos Jalisco, excuse me, right there in Boyle Heights. You go Ramirez Liquor, you get a 6-pack of something, or a 4-pack, and you walk over to the Marisco truck, you get some
you know,
shrimp tacos or whatever.
Can't go wrong with shrimp tacos.
And, dude, like, that's the stuff I love to eat with beer.
There
pizza,
you go.
All the other stuff. I don't know. I guess it makes me feel full.
Yeah.
I'd rather have, like, a soda or like a Topo Chico with that stuff. But yeah, if it's up to me, mariscos and a beer, there is no better beer pairing to me. My buddy runs a restaurant, so he's like working. Well, he's actually going to be running the kitchen in their West Covina location.
Okay.
So he's like working. We did this whole beer pairing thing here.
That's cool.
And
people
I
love that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. No, that did really great for us. But at the same time, too, when he was asking me, like, what do you pair with this? I'm like, I don't know, dude. I don't drink any of these beer with this type of food. Like, I want some ceviche, but it's November. Like, it just wouldn't go right. So, and that's another thing, too, in West Covina that we're hoping to do is, you know, we're hoping to have a flexible menu that we can change up seasonally.
Oh, of course.
So, like, in the summers, just have, like, a bunch of different type of ceviches to go with our lagers and stuff like that. So, yeah, for me, for my money, give me a cocktail de camarón, some ceviche, and a nice, you know, crispy lager.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy on a sunny day.
Awesome.
Probably somewhere by the beach.
Oh yeah,
like, I'm set, dude.
That's awesome, man. Well, I mean, I honestly get, and I said it before, but I'm really appreciative. Like, thanks for being on the show. This is super fun for me, and I couldn't be more grateful. I really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you, dude. I appreciate you coming by, hitting me up. I mean, I know, like, I have this. I say, like, we ain't shit. So I appreciate someone taking the time to notice our little brewery here.
Oh, yeah, man.
Kind of in the middle of nowhere and take the time out of their day to come hang out.
Oh,
come talk
sure.
about beer. Come and, you know, enjoy one of our beers. And so I thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, don't forget to follow. It's at Burning Bridge Brew on Instagram.
Yes,
right?
Burning Bridge Brew. Yep.
And then you got some concerts, some stuff here, some shows coming up in here in January. So make sure you come on and support, you know, try all their beers. Drink responsibly, but try all their beers. All right. Thanks again, brother.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Like I said, it was a really fun time. You know, I had a kick-ass time over there with Ruben. Like I said, go in there, go out there and support, man. Support your local brewery, you know, support your local, you know, liquor store, you know, craft liquor store, stuff like that. You want to be able to, you know, help these people out, support, go out there and support small business, man. All right. Well, time to jump into the What's New at Noble segment. So I will catch you guys on the outro. All right, guys, I'm back at Noble. Today I have Josh and Jimmy with me for a What's New at Noble segment. What's going on, fellas?
Not much.
Just a little bit. Yeah, underplay it, man.
Yeah.
Just getting ready
for having us, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's always fun being on here and love being able to talk about the new beers. And the best part is we got Jimmy, so he can really describe the beers for you.
There we go. Yeah, because you guys got some new ones this week, and then also some that one that you've changed a bit. So which one do you want to start with?
Where do we start? I'd say let's start with the new baby.
Yeah.
But we got to go with the new one.
Giraffes are cool.
Giraffes are
because
cool.
Because they are cool. Everybody knows giraffes are cool.
There you
Amazing
go.
Amazing animals.
Nice.
So this guy was actually kind of, the way we've been working lately is just kind of, we're still in the process of getting the IPAs down there.
Okay.
So this is kind of one of the first ones we've done where we put a couple new products in there, like Incognito, for example.
Yeah.
And focusing our hops more on like our, focusing our hops with respect to like where we buy them from and what we buy. So this is kind of a focused beer, like in a trajectory of being better, but we're really happy with this. So it's just a West Coast. It might be called a New Zealand IPA for a better description, but like it's just Mosaic Incognito on when we knocked out, and then Rakow and a lot of Rewalk over the top.
Nice.
We just wanted a really, really good bitterness on it. And we feel like right now to me, like as the guy who made it, like it's a bit green, but like it's every day it gets a little better. I'm happy with it. It's good.
That's awesome.
Evolution in our IPAs. I feel we're still getting there, and we're happy with the fact that we feel like we're at least I feel like we're moving in the right direction.
Awesome.
No, it's good. Like I'm stoked with it. When he gave me like last week, went off this week, I was like, okay, this is awesome. Like we've been doing a real, you know, we're known for Big Wig, but let's be real, Big Wig's, you know, more malty than it is, you know, a piney, you know, West Coast IPA, where this one was like, we're getting on the right track. And then we had the best part was actually the can artwork and coming with the name.
I love the can artwork.
Yeah, so the funny part about this one is one day I come in and Jimmy might have been a little inebriated a little bit. And he's all, I want to name beer. I'm like, okay, what do you want to name? He's all, giraffes are cool. I'm like, wait, what? He's all, giraffes are cool. I'm like,
you fucking okay. Heard me.
I'm like, you got to tell Steve you want to name it that way because I'm all, that's all you.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
No. Yeah, no, he didn't. And then he's all, and I'm all, what do you want? He's all, I want a kid drawing on the wall with crayons. I'm like, I
love it.
Okay, I'm all cool. I like it. We went through a couple of jokes about it, and then I was out of my mind. We do this. I want Norman Rockwell style.
Okay,
I love his artwork. And
all right,
like I said, we gave it to Mike, and Mike, you know, our designer, he took off. And honestly, when he sent it to us, we were stoked. And like I said, I made sure Jimmy, like the whole time, Jimmy got to see everything we're doing.
Yeah,
and I want to make sure he was happy with it because, like I said, this is kind of like his new. It's his baby. New baby.
Yeah. No, but you fucking complimented it so well. You did everything I asked for. So just so you know that name was not on the spot. I literally had it written down on my recipe sheet already.
Love
I
it.
Thought it really deeply about this. But everything came together so nicely. And I mean, this like the best thing I feel about us here is maybe sometimes we don't put out the best product. Sometimes we're underwhelmed with what we did, but I feel like a lot of times we're where we want to be. And the fucking it's sorry, yeah,
you're good.
Yeah, and I feel like you want to put a pretty cover on a book.
Of course,
you know what I mean. And so you go and you look at all the books in the bookstores when there used to be like books in bookstores.
Yeah.
And you look at the one that's like, hey, I want to read that. It looks good. And it's disappointing. And I feel like the labels complement what's inside. It's like one of those things you want to open up and take a sip of. And it's not underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it's never underwhelming. And I feel like it's never, with the labels at least, like with the artwork compared and the marketing and everything, I feel like we kind of lack on the quality in the beer. Mm. I feel like we're always kind of on point. We're balanced some way, shape, or form. And I mean, honestly, I feel like that's part of the reason why we've been so lucky as we've been this last, like...
We've been doing good. It's been, like I told you, you know, you've seen the past year. Like, it's been between, with Cam, Jimmy, Paul, like, team we have, like, it's been... It works all around, like I said.
For sure.
We get to do all our pieces, we get there, and like I said, I know you're happy with this one, because one of the few you've been smiling about.
Yeah.
Because most times this fool is like,
it's the only one
he's really all, it could be better. I'm like... Hey, Mo, you're never, I mean, not always a bad thing. You know, you want perfectionist,
keep of course.
Pushing forward, but I'm on this one, I actually knew when he was smiling, happy, and like I said, it was good. So I was stoked on this. Like, for me, from a marketing standpoint, sales wise, like, I'm stoked on this. And like I said, everything came together. Like, it's come together, and I'm happy. And that, like I said, it just came out this week, so it's fresh. We have them tap room right now. I'm going to grab 4 packs. Hopefully, Distro will be picking up next week, getting out to the markets.
Awesome.
But if you don't see in your store, come on over to tap room, grab some. We have it right now. It's $17 a 4-pack. That's my sales pitch.
There you go.
So that's what we have. But yeah, this has been a good one. And it's, like I said, this is the start of for new styles of West Coast for us. Like, and actually going back to like true piney, you know, hoppy West Coast.
For
like,
sure.
I can't wait to see what we have next.
Cheers, fellas.
So cheers. Yes. So now we'll go to our next fun one. This one was fun.
Yeah.
So you know the Harry Porter we did.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
You know, that was a 10, you know, 10.1. It was a heavy porter, but I mean, it did really well.
And
we got asked from Distro to do another porter, and we're like, okay, but they want something a little bit more lighter, a little bit more drinkable.
Okay.
And then we had played before with some Banana the Man smell not too long ago. And then Jimmy can tell you, like, he's all came with the porter. He's all, we're going to do a Munich porter. And then we're going to do Banana. We did Banana. And then, you know, it actually, I mean, it's very drinkable. It's very light, very easy to drink. Here's a sample for you to try there.
Thank you.
Here's one for you, Jimmy.
And I just, real quick, like, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, how never, like, I mean, obviously we've been hanging out, obviously, throughout the year now. And it's just, to me, like, you see that everything you guys have done from when I first came over in March or whatever it was to now, and it's like, I mean, you guys just keep putting out quality shit every time.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Like, it's, when we get to hear it from people, it's... Especially, like I said, when you're going to all these breweries, you like I said, it's not like you're just someone at home, like, I got a few beers. I know you're going out all the time to breweries, so I know you're drinking different beers. So, like, it does mean a lot to us when you're saying, hey, like, it's quality, you're liking and enjoying it. Because,
of course,
you know, you can at least compare because, like I said, you're out there in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us out as well.
Yeah. So. And that's why I always love coming back. And I love to be able to, you know, to talk to you guys, support you guys and stuff like that. Because you guys made me feel like I was a part of the family, you know, being over here, hanging out with you guys all the time. And you know, cheers. So this is the
Bubba Banana.
I love the fucking can.
Yeah. So we said we're going to do Banana. I was like, okay, what goes with bananas?
Yeah.
Minions. We had to do something Minions, which is where we got the Minions.
I mean, it's amazing. A little piece of art right here. I love the can.
It was fun. Like I said, we got them in little green outfits and yellow, which actually, you know, it goes together. So it's been awesome. Like, but it's very drinkable. It's super light.
Oh, definitely. So it's not like, it's not heavy or anything like that. Huge banana. And that's why I would say, like, if you're going to put, like, whatever is in this, like, it has to fucking taste like it. Like, I hate buying a beer and then it's like, oh, it's pineapple something, and it tastes nothing like pineapple.
Well, that's what he gave me. What was it on last week when he gave the first sample? I'm like, he's all, what do you think? I'm all, we need more banana. Banana has to pop on this because it says with bananas.
Yeah.
the goal going in was to make Laffy Taffy Banana.
Yeah.
That was truly the goal going in.
I can see that. Yeah.
So, like, the amount of stuff that's in this beer, I can't even, like, I think it was 150 packs of little jello pudding bananas.
Holy shit.
Yeah, a gallon of banana snow cone syrup.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it was some extract that I found from a company that I always use, Lorans, that was like a pint, literally a pint of extract
in
5 barrels just to make this over the top.
Dang.
Like, and every time, like, we'd try it and be like, too roasty. We need more banana. Or we need more Laffy Taffy banana. And so we just, like, and the last time we pushed in, it was hilarious because I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, I'm done. This is it. What it is what it is. And when we literally, it was the next day when we were canning, was really the first time that we tried it. It was kind of one of those, like, this is it.
Yep.
Like, I don't know what it is, but this is it.
Yeah.
And I'm stoked on this.
Yeah, no, the flavor came out for someone
who's passionate about, like I love a good banana stout. Like, I still remember when the Tro and Brewery released theirs, and it was like the first one I had that was like over the top banana. Like it was like banana bread and a stout, and I just wanted to repeat that. And I know, like, it's the hardest thing with banana. It takes so much banana.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to go, like, candy flavor. And I feel like we actually did a really, really good job of getting there.
Oh, for sure,
the guys
sure, from Moon
Hut, they both, the guys that are here, they said they like a lot. They said it's crushable. So, like, you know, it's a good thing.
Definitely.
Like I said, it's a drinkable beer. That's a plus. Like, and I said, if you're a banana fan at all, you're going to love this beer.
Or if you like Minions.
Yeah, or you like Minions, yeah. I think we got a ton of people like, Minions? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, the only thing, hopefully the kids don't think it's juice in the fridge.
No.
I'm seeing that, man.
I'm in trouble, like, oh, Dad, what's this? A Minion? Oh, yeah. We want this.
Oh, that's mine.
You like the new Camel cigarettes, bro.
I'm not gonna lie. When you first said drafts were cool, I was like, could have done like a Joe Camel kind of style artwork.
Oh yeah, I could have seen that.
Wow, man.
Hey, not gonna lie.
Dipping low, dude.
Not gonna lie. I used to smoke Camels.
Yep, same here.
Yeah.
Turkish Golds.
Huh?
Turkish Golds.
Oh no, I smoked. It was like Camel Wides back in the day, and then I switched to. Oh, you used to do the crush? Okay. My brother used to do crush.
This is all getting cut, right?
Yeah. it was a long time ago.
I haven't smoked in, a very long time.
Yeah.
These are our two new bad boys. So, like,
They're solid. Even talking about, the drafts are cool. Like, you do definitely get that, that hoppy bitterness to it. And I love that. But it's also, you get that, like, bright, kind of refreshing kind of taste to it.
Yeah, it's not overbearing.
Like, oh, no, not at all.
And it is still settling. It's probably, maybe 3 or 4 days out from where it's going to be. I feel like every day I drink it, it's a little better than it was the day before.
Yeah.
Kind of like California Devil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's been coming out really, like, it's just getting better and better berries.
Yeah, that's my go-to right now.
And what's the percentage on this one?
That's 6.5.
6.5.
We're dropping them down.
Yeah, we had a routine. 6.5 on both the beers, and they both had green and yellow themes.
Yeah. I love that freaking label,
coordination,
man.
Baby.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I love the label.
It came out awesome, like I said.
Dude, that what's that color on the background?
It's like the,
I can't think
like
of
a stain. It's like a tea stain.
It's such a beautiful freaking, like.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Mike's been, like I said, Mike, our designer, Mike David Weeks, even once in a
while. Oh, he's been killing it, for sure.
But dude, the Norman Rockwell, character drawing it, against the crown board just makes the realism of Norman Rockwell against the kind of comic nature of the crown, like, sketches.
Well,
to me, that polarization is rad.
Yeah, when he asked me, too, he's all, do you want to leave the crown like you guys normally do, or do you want me to draw it out? I'm like, no, draw it out. I'm all, it'll look way better, because especially with the kids on the label, the perfect, like, location for it. So
he did such a great job. Mike did an amazing job on this one.
You know what's crazy? Just about this can specifically, like, I don't think I've ever seen, like, can artwork like that.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're allowed. The guys are hardyhood. Tim's like, he's all, looks so sad. He's all, who wanted that label? I'm all, you don't know Jimmy, do you? Yeah. I'm like, he's all, no, I know so much more now. I'm like, oh my God. But they like I said, everyone's seen it. It's been, people are loving it. So
Jimmy, was that smart. You as a kid drawing on all the walls?
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, there was a time at my grandparents' house where I went wild with those crowns.
I'll say, was it a Sharpie or a crayon?
What?
I said, was it a Sharpie or a crayon?
No, it was a straight crown, bro. It was a straight crown with colors, dude. I got some red, some green, black before I got shut down.
There you go.
There was a true shutdown moment right there for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well, yeah, so anybody wants these, like I said, we're fully stocked right now. They're on tap, so come on down, give them a try. If you like it, pick us a 4-pack, pick up a case, mix and match if you guys want. We guys taken care of.
Thank you guys for your time.
Yeah, so appreciate it on this one. And then other news, give you a little heads up to anyone's here, Naughty Sauce. We do have a new label for Naughty Sauce. We revamped it a little bit to our new model we've been doing.
Nice.
So stands out a little bit more. And again, it's not the, got rid of the shrink wrap, just strictly doing the labels. And Bodhi Leaf, we gave a little recognition on the can. So shout out to Bodhi Leaf because they, they've taken care of us with the coffee. If anyone's been loving it, and you like coffee, go check them out. Yeah. They, like I said, their coffee's amazing.
Yeah.
It's been good. And in a couple of weeks, we have some other big stuff coming out.
Awesome.
So you
some big stuff.
Does it?
Big stuff, yes. Big stuff. Yeah. I'll show you later a sneak peek of some stuff we have, the label.
I'm artwork. Down.
So,
that's the Stowaway Collabs, right?
Yeah, the Stowaway Collab. So anyone doesn't know Stowaway Tiki Bar.
Yeah.
You haven't heard of them, been there, check them out. Dominic and Leonard over there are amazing.
Didn't you post the other day, like a little preview?
A little preview, yes.
Yeah, just a little
teaser. That was from Tiki Tony, so thank you, Tiki Tony.
Awesome.
Tony's been amazing and really helping us. And we have I'm not going to fully announce it yet, but we have another big Tiki artist coming on board at the end of this month, which will be, I'm very excited about. Like, so for me, for the artwork and everything else, if you're a Disneyland fan, even if you're not Tiki, just like Disneyland, you're going to know this guy.
Oh, and I'm so stressed out because we got to make a fire zombie.
Yes.
A zombie. We have been tasked with a zombie, which for Tiki drinkers is one of those like...
Has to be on point.
Yeah, okay. It's like a painkiller. Like, you, if you don't hit it, like, words will be set.
But we've been, like I said, this is where it comes to Soulway, so the Cloud Facilities look. So the so those guys have been helping us out. So, have Black, so Black Sands and Jet Pilot, those will be coming out in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that's a collaboration with working the recipe with them. And then, of course, Tiki Tony and the artwork. And those will be going out. Like, I can't wait. Like,
awesome. Just so you guys know, I'm literally cooking these tiki mixers. I'm hating my life right now. It'd be amazing. Because Dom has like walked me through everything, and I have no excuses.
It's gonna be
it's gonna be a lot of work. That's well worth it. It's well worth
it. If you like any of the other ones we've done so far, like it's going to be. This is we're taking it to
those ones are dangerous. Like all the tiki ones you've done so far, dangerous.
You know, it's wild when we start going a little bit harder in it. Now that we've kind of like we're starting to like look at back at these and go. Now we got way better flavors.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, do we dial back? Like, do we incorporate the new ones and bring them along, or leave them where they are?
Yeah, it's a play right now, but it's like it's fun, and you know, it's I get excited about the beers, but I'm a big tiki person, so like they know I get super excited about it. So like, the next month, like the guys we get to work with and the stuff coming out, it's going. You guys are gonna like it. And like I said, come get the beer, but if you want something, you know, you're not a beer drinker.
Yeah.
Or you want something just not a beer, drink today, come drink. And again, we're not selling you, just give you a heads up, okay? If you haven't had our drinks, we're not selling you carbonated water with flavoring. Just give you a heads up.
Yeah.
Idea. It's literally tastes like a cocktail in a can.
Yeah, we're really trying to get you drunk. That's truly our goal.
You're going
to
you get your money's worth. You get your money's worth with it. But just like I said, if you're not a seltzer person, try to put that you know, out of your mind and don't think of it as seltzer. Really think of it as a cocktail.
Yeah, I don't even like even you know because I hadn't really tried them before, like anything like that before it came over here. When it came to like a just that kind of you know drink, but it doesn't taste like a seltzer at all.
Yeah,
and like none of them do.
Yeah, and that's been the biggest thing was like it can't taste like right. One, everyone has a seltzer. Let's be real.
Yeah,
it's normally carbonated water with some syrup of some sort or some fruit juice, whatever. That's what it is, and we just we can't be the same. We want to have body to it, which we've been able to give to it. And then the flavor-wise, it's easy to drink. Like I said, you've been with me. Unfortunately, that one night I was a little intoxicated.
Oh, we've been there.
Josh, you never get intoxicated. Yeah. You're a responsible person.
Always, always.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be cool. So I will fill you in on artists afterwards. And next time we do something new. Next podcast, we can, if you come in, we do another one of these.
I'm down.
We can release the artists coming for that one, because
sweet,
we're gonna probably have a special event for that one here. But the Stowaway one's gonna be set up too, and we'll give you information close on it. We're gonna be doing a release over at Stowaway for the new Tiki Seltzers.
Oh, that's awesome!
So it's gonna be fun.
And then there will be at the end of what is this week? The what? Seventh. I'd say Thursday or Friday. If you come by the tap room, there will be. Those R&D versions of those seltzers will be on tap. We'll do one sixtel if you want to come try them, as well as our new barley tea that we're making, hot barley tea, just to balance it out. Like, we feel like that's kind of like a thing that people need to deal with. Like, it like cut your drinks with like, you know, and a good NA beer or even tea. Like, and I feel like it's a good palate cleanser too. So, like, that's kind of what we're going towards right now.
Awesome.
Like, it's like, and we're happy with it. I think we're kind of like, and I know that every time, like, we have these moments where, like, we feel all lined up. But then you start evaluating things, and things are kind of, you know, disorganized. They get disorganized. And then you rely on yourselves. And it feels like every time we redo that, it's a little bit more coherent. Like, and I feel like we're just, we're doing it.
Yeah, we're I mean, 2024 is looking good for us.
It's going to be a fun, wild year for us.
100%.
Yes. That's awesome, and I can't.
You get to come with us for the
ride. Yeah, I can't wait. So, I mean, this is, you know, just hanging out with you guys and, like, you know, being able to come over on a Friday or come down on a Saturday or whatever and be able to, you know, have a few beers with you guys, and that's, you know, it's fun as shit for me.
Good, man. We love you, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you're part of the family.
Yeah.
We enjoy having you here, so, you know, you're always welcome with
us. Always welcome, man.
Appreciate that. I was waiting earlier, but I should have mentioned the Bodie thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, didn't he play quarterback at Ohio State? But that was, you know, Point Break, but that was, it was a little late. It's a little late.
One of the best, I was actually one of Keanu's best movies.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I just watched all John Wick's.
Oh, you know, I've only ever seen the first one.
You've seen the first one?
Oh, I've only seen the first
one. They get better and better and better.
On the fourth one, I'm watching them all again just because one night I had to spend the night at the brewery.
Mm. Yeah.
And wait around. It wasn't like, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just a waiting thing. So I'd be sitting in the back. I'm like, I'm just going to watch all the John Wick movies all over again. It's been like a whole week, and now I'm on the fourth one. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is kind of nice. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
Most kill counts, least amount of lines.
Okay.
Movie.
There you go.
I mean, it's like Terminator, bro.
Dude, yeah.
I
read Arnold's book the other day. This is way off topic. Sorry.
No.
But I read the Arnold book the other day, and over a couple of days I read it, and he talks about how at one point he had the most deaths on screen and most bullets fired.
I was like,
well, John Matrix in Commando killed everybody.
Yep.
He had the one when he was holding the gun with one hand, and he's just like, that big old monster of a gun. It looked like a Gatling gun in his hand. Just launching, just destroying people.
Yeah, it's funny. Big buff man, action star to freaking skinny surfer, right, dude. Surfer dude.
How the world changes.
Yep.
Like Kung Fu guy. Want to be a Kung Fu guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen his Tactical Training?
No.
For Keanu?
Oh, you know what? I know. I've seen like little like reels and stuff of him like doing all of his like shooting and stuff like that. Yeah, it's crazy.
I told Bill, I'm like, no, he actually knows how to shoot the guns. And
that's awesome.
No, he's legit, dude.
He's not just overdoing a movie. Like, he actually knows how to use the guns and actually has the full-on training for that, which is nuts.
Yeah. Well, that's why everything seems a little bit slower. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's like legit. Like, it seems like it's going slow, but this is like reality.
Yeah.
Like it's not that, like, where they speed it up to make it faster, or Bruce Lee, where it's too fast to be caught by camera.
Yeah.
You know?
To quote Kirk Lazarus from Tropic Thunder, I'm head to toe legit. I watched it last night, so it was just in my head.
It's always a good movie. It's always a good movie. That's right. That movie has not been canceled yet, but it's always a good one.
Well, they tried to get Robert Downey Jr. for it, but it's like, dude, come on, man. It was a comedy. It was like a parody of it's like of a war movie. Like, get out of here. But, man, thanks for being on, guys.
Yeah, thanks
for having us, man. Yeah. Always a good time.
Yeah, so this one, well, when you're listening to it, it'll be out, obviously, but it'll be out tomorrow. So, like I said, I really always appreciate you guys and, you know, being able to come down and enjoy this stuff.
No.
I'm going to... I was like, what's going on?
He's looking at a time like...
Yeah. But man, I love you guys. So definitely come down to Noble. You know, check out the new beers. I'm going to take a couple 4-packs. I'm going to have to pick up a couple and drink some more because I'm thinking about how I'm going to take the pictures of these cans and what I want to do with it. But like the mind's already churning. Like even the first day I saw it, I was like, yep, all right, we're there. All right, but thanks again, Jimmy. Thanks again, Josh.
Thank you.
All right, you guys stay tuned for the quote of the week. Not sure what it is yet. We'll figure it out. Might be Kirk Lazarus. All right, guys. Well, like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed, you know, the interview with Ruben and also, you know, the What's New at Noble. They had some really good beers. I got a 4-pack of their West Coast and a 4-pack of the Minions one. So I'm going to be drinking those today for sure. Also along with maybe a couple more of the Beacons Are Lit. All right. Well, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to end it with this movie quote or end the episode with this movie quote. And that is from The Express, about Ernie Davis. What matters is what you play for. Sometimes when the game is close and everything's on the line, that's when you forget the crowd and the noise. That's when it's just you against somebody else to see who the better man is. So tomorrow we'll see who the better men are in the Natty. Looking forward to that. Hope you guys have a great week. And you guys will catch me, catch episode 48 next week, next Sunday. And that's with Joe Pfeiffer from Pfeiffer's Brewing. All right. Y'all take care.